realizing more and more that, like, yeah, maybe just hope and faith isn't something that I can just conjure up by myself. Like, it has to be a gift from the Lord. And so just asking, yeah, for that. And like you said, like, for the perspective change.
Yeah.
Just don't become weary in your trials, in your tribulation. Like, not only, like, is there purpose for it, but, like, there's provision. Like, He is the Lord who will provide. He's not teasing us. He's not tormenting us.
Hi, welcome to the Hard to Hope podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Megan.
And I'm Sally. And we're here to talk about when it's hard to hope walking with Jesus and walking out our faith.
We're passionate about seeking revival for our generation and believe that a key to that is by pursuing authentic, personal relationship with the Lord, even when it's hard.
So we're here for the journey of taking things from our heads to our hearts. So come along with us and we'll walk it out together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Hard to Hope podcast.
Hi, guys. We're here again. I know you've waited a long time to hear us.
Oh, it will end up being 2 weeks, right?
At least.
No, I think that's a month.
It's like a month. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, we will explain.
Probably on Instagram.
We got a little behind the last month. It's been, for both of us, we both had some life changes / anticipated changes.
Yeah.
You moved into your apartment and stuff.
Yeah.
All my stuff going on. So, yeah. We definitely, it was ended up being a busy month. So, we did not intend to miss a whole month of posting. But it's the way it turned out.
And also technical difficulties, so.
Ugh, technical freaking difficulties. So, yeah, the episode that we're going to do today, I actually recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What's it now? On my own, and just, yeah. If you haven't noticed yet, we don't have the best microphone ever. And I just had some technical issues, and I tried to fix them, and then I just told Sally. I was like, are you okay if we just don't even do this, because it was just not even worth it. So, and this episode might sound a little bit rehearsed, because it's something that I've recorded before, but also it's just been a topic that's been mulling over, is that the word? In my brain.
Yeah.
I've been mulling over it for the past, like, month. So, yeah, it's something that I've thought a lot about. So it might sound like rehearsed or it might sound terrible.
It's going to be cool.
That's
great.
Fun too.
And I'm excited because I get to hear what's been on your heart.
Yeah. So, okay. So basically today I'm just going to share something that the Lord put in my heart a little while ago. And yeah, it's something that when I when I had my quiet time and He was just kind of downloading all this to me, I was like, I don't quite feel like this is just for me. Do you know that? When it's like, I'm not sure if this is something I'm supposed to keep for myself or to others. And I love sharing, obviously. That's why we have a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I love preaching and things like that. So I, like, often have to be like, is this for me or is it for other people? And is it, am I thinking it's other people just because I want to, like, hear my own voice? Because, yeah. But, or is, like, I do love, you know what I mean, sharing, and I think I have a little bit of a gift, at least, for that. And so, yeah, there's, like, that thing where it can almost be, like, if I don't share it, that's, like, can be a reverse, you know, pride thing. Like, oh, I didn't share it because I didn't know what people would think. They'd think I'm just wanting to hear my own voice.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But, like, people, like, if the Lord gives it to me to share, then, like, it's doing Him a disservice not to share.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry for that rambling. So, when I first started thinking about it, I was like, is this something just for me? Is it for other people? But I do just feel like it is something that I'm supposed to share, and I didn't quite know how or where I would share it. So, yeah, this is great, just that I have the opportunity. Like, we have the day, and so I'm just going to kind of share about it.
Yeah.
So, a little backstory, which we've talked about. The past just couple months, I did, like, a prayer challenge that was all about faith. And, yeah, just a couple other things that I felt like the Lord was telling me were specifically about the subject of faith. That I felt like the Lord was working on my heart, building faith in me, like, teaching me how to have faith again, how to, like, believe for things again, dream about things again. Yeah, where I really felt like a lot of that was kind of dead inside me, that I feel like the Lord just kind of really breathed life on the past few months, which has been just really, really cool. And then over the past month specifically, month or two, I've had a situation at work where I felt like, I guess I can just say it because that comes out, I'm moving on, where I felt like it's time to make a change and maybe time to leave my job. and just the whole process of that felt like it felt like it was just going to start to be like a test of my faith. And yeah, just the things that the Lord was asking me and the way he was asking me to step out in obedience and in faith, even though it didn't feel like leap of faith, it felt more like small steps, mm-hmm. whatever. It felt very stretching to me, like just what was happening. Mm-hmm. So, again, this was probably like a month ago during one of my quiet times. I went to the story in Genesis 22, which is when Abraham brings Isaac as a sacrifice to the altar where the Lord asks him to do that. And I've loved this story. Like, it's just one that I go back to, like, over and over and over again. I just feel like it's one of those stories that I, like, find something new every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just the whole concept of really just provision coming out of obedience is really displayed very well in this story. I heard a sermon, like, years and years and years ago. This is kind of a side tangent, but I'll share it because it's fun. It's my testimony, and that's how we overcome. Mm-hmm. I heard a sermon on this years and years ago that was about that specifically, that, like, obedience, which is, the pastor who preached on this said that obedience is the pursuit of God's will and not yours. Mm-hmm. That the pursuit, obedience leads to provision. And so I had a situation when I was going into my LPN program that I needed. Do you know the story?
Yeah, actually.
Have I shared it on the podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay. I needed $11,000 to go into this LPN program. And basically by, like, the beginning of the semester, I needed to say, like, how I was going to pay the $11,000. I didn't have to have the $11,000. I just had to have, like, the plan for it. And so I was just coming out of Bible school, so I had no monies. Getting ready to go into a nursing program. And I, like, applied for, like, so many jobs. Like, I was like, I don't know why in my brain I thought I would, like, make almost that much, but, like, I maybe would have made, like, $3,000. But I was like, I'm gonna work really hard, like, I'm gonna get a job, even if it's, like, whatever, 7 days a week, like, I'm gonna work really hard and make all this money so that I can put myself in nursing school. Mm-hmm. And, like, thing after thing after thing that I applied for, like, just did not work out. Like, stupid simple jobs.
Yeah.
Like, didn't work out, that, like, I should have just gotten. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I thought I was going to work really hard and make this money, and now I'm not going to be able to, whatever. And the Lord provided this babysitting job, which was, like, okay money, but, like, not amazing. And, like, yeah, I felt like I was just supposed to obey and do the thing that was presented to me and that he would be faithful. And that's kind of what I just clung to in this story from Genesis 22 specifically throughout the summer. And then I think it was, like, a week after my grandpa died, so the summer had been hectic anyways. A couple days before I was supposed to come up with this plan for how I was gonna pay the money, mm-hmm. that an old teacher of mine reached out to me on Facebook and was like, hey, I heard you're going back into, like, school, like, healthcare. I would love to help pay for school. And I just messaged back and I was like, yeah, like, that's amazing. Whatever you can do would be super helpful. And she was like, no, like, I want to pay for all of it. How much is it? And I was like, what? and I was like, okay, like, it's $11,000.
Yeah.
And she came to my house the next day and handed me a check for $12,000. She's like, oh, just to cover any other random expenses you might have.
Yeah.
So that's one of my stories that's, like, I don't know, you hear about people getting, like, buildings and, like, you know, these big God stories. And, like, you don't need big God stories, like, all the time to know that he's faithful. But, like, that's my, like, big God story is that, yeah, I needed money and I didn't have it one day. And the next day somebody came to my house and handed me a check for $12,000 so that I could go to nursing school.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But just out of that, I really felt like the Lord was teaching me that, like, obey, 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 even just step by step by step, and I will provide, like, I'm the one who provides.
Yeah.
And so I think just because of that story, like, I've just always loved this passage, and again, it's just one that I just come back to over and over.
Yeah.
So, sorry, that was kind of a tangent, but I felt like it was important to say.
I hadn't heard the, like, lead up to it with the jobs and stuff. I just remember hearing that that's what happened, but I didn't remember that, or know that you, like, applied and nothing.
I applied to, like, so many jobs. Wow. Like, even, like, just, like, grocery store jobs, and nobody would hire me.
Yeah.
So weird. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I came back to this story just in my devotional time, just because it's one that I love to come back to. Mm-hmm. And this time, again, like, it's one of those things where I feel like I'm so thankful that the Word is living and active and alive, because I feel like you can come back to the same thing and, again, learn something new or something else jumps out at you.
Yeah.
And so, you know how, like, every chapter has, like, the title at the top? So, I don't know if I never noticed this, but this time, that is what jumped out at me, is that it's titled Abraham's Faith Confirmed. And I just felt like the Lord was just kind of speaking over me in this, just that he, like, our faith does need to be, like, confirmed. Like, if we are, if we have a season where we feel like, okay, the Lord's really growing my faith, he's really refining my faith, like, we have to expect sometime soon something that's going to confirm our faith. And I felt like the Lord was just saying, just over me, like, he's not doing it to tease me, he's not doing it to torment me, but he does try us. Like, he doesn't torment us, he doesn't tease us, but he does try us, or allow us to be tried, because trying produces purity. And this is another thing that the Lord has been, like, you know, you just have, like, specific things that you feel like the Lord's just pressing on you over and over and over again. In the past few months, this is another thing that I've really felt very heavy on my heart, is, and it started, I was reading the parable about, I think it's 10 virgins.
Is it the oil and the lamps?
The oil and the lamps, and how they keep their oil full and their lamps, the wicks trimmed, and the ones who don't have to go away and they miss the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. But the ones who have their oil full and their lamps, the wicks, sorry, trimmed, are ready when the bridegroom comes. Mm-hmm. And so just that, sorry, that concept of, like, am I a bride who's ready for the bridegroom? Like, when Jesus returns, like, am I ready? And I think becoming tried, that leading to purity, that's all part of it. Like, it's all part of, yeah, just that desire to be a bride ready for the bridegroom. And, like, that's just something that I desire so much. And just even, like, just perspective-wise, I think, like, that's literally what we're here for. That's why we still, like, exist. That's why we're not all just taken up to heaven, is because Jesus is returning. Like, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we're not preparing for that, like, what are we doing, mm-hmm. basically? But, yeah, that just, I don't have to, like, I can take heart in being tried and being made pure, because it's all to make me a pure bride, ready for the bridegroom to return. And just that concept, I was just, like, I'm, like, blown away by it. And it's just, like, it's, I feel like it's just fueling me right now to, yeah, just not become disheartened. And, yeah, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It feels really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because I've misinterpreted it a lot, where, like, I do pray the prayers of, like, Lord, help me trust you, give me faith, and then another thing comes that I'm, like, I can't do this anymore. And I've realize that there is a connection with that, like praying for faith and having a hard thing happen does go hand in hand, but it does feel super hard because it's like, I want to be encouraged is what I'm like asking for. Like, can you give me something?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, here's something. And I'm like, that's not what I wanted. That hurts actually.
Yeah.
And I have misinterpreted that.
Yeah.
And then
asking
the Lord to reveal his heart behind that too, because like, he does give good gifts.
Right.
And something that I would not call a gift are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sort of like, okay, am I going to accept it and be willing to take it, like, thankfully? Or am I going to continue to, like, scorn the thing that he's giving me?
Yeah.
Because that is how it's been.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this before, too, that the, like, one thing leading to another is, like, I know you said that you've been reading in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
About, that one thing leads to another. So, like, glorying in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, which, like, is obvious, I feel like. Like, yeah, perseverance, keep going, is what comes out of tribulation. And perseverance, character, and that one also makes sense, kind of. And then character, hope. I feel like that's the jump that it's, like, hard.
Yeah.
Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But, like, that to me is, like, a chain of events. And that's how I, like, that's just how my brain works. Like, a lot of the time when reading scripture, which I don't think is wrong, but you have to be careful with it, too. But, like, the cause and effect kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, does this mean I can't get to hope unless I am developing character, and I can't get character unless I've been needing to persevere, and I can't persevere unless I've been under tribulation. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, okay, that's kind of how I can backtrack it a little bit. And right, it doesn't make it easy. Like, it's tribulation is tribulation.
Yeah.
So it is, by definition, like, hard
and
crappy and not fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the result of it, which, again, like, just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, like, just realizing more and more that, like, yeah, maybe just hope and faith isn't something that I can just conjure up by myself. Like, it has to be a gift from the Lord. And so just asking, for that. And like you said, like, for the perspective change and things like that.
Yeah. Which I think that a lot of it is a little bit more upside down than I thought it was with, like, those things where I, like, recently have been, like, you know the verse that says, like, in our weakness he's strong, like, his power is made perfect in our weakness. So I've always thought that, like, that weakness was, like, the surrender, like, the place where we're, like, soft. But I've been realizing recently, like, no, I'm actually weak in my desire to still pursue things that don't have to do with, like, is the, like, epitome probably of weakness, where I'm like, I don't really want to turn to you right now. I understand that that would be good to, like, surrender, but, like, I'm so sick of dealing with my emotions and, like, all this stuff that's wrapped up within this, like, disappointment or whatever it is. So I just want to leave it for a while, and that's even weaker than coming to, like, the closer to him where, like, I would surrender.
Right.
And so
it is surrender. It's, like, a different form of surrender. Like, coming to the place where you're like, okay, I won't just try and try and try and try myself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But even amidst my trying and my desire for control still, I'm weak, very weak.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make me stronger just because I'm trying.
Yeah.
And so I've been like, okay, Lord, I'm not even, like, in, like, a place of strength to come to this weakness and then get to the better strength. It's like, no, I'm still just super weak.
Mm.
And so I still need you to help me to even come to a place where I'm willing to humble myself and surrender and then take the tribulation and be like, okay, I can deal with this instead of, well, with him, instead of, like, I'll wait.
It's like a breaking down of your walls.
Yes.
So fun. Okay, so, along with that, also the verse in James has come to mind a lot. The count it all joy. It's, like, all the same theme, right? Count it all joy. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith... Oh, yeah, this is the same. I was like, oh, this is the same verse. It's not. It's just the same thing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And this is where I think the image of just, like, the bride and the bridegroom keeps coming to me. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. So, again, being that, like, just letting patience have its perfect work, letting that be, patience be, like, a part of your, you know what I mean, your gown or your veil or whatever that the bride wears, its perfect work so that you may be perfect and completely lacking nothing. And so, yeah, again, like, it's not easy, but trusting that that's part of just the process of being ready for Jesus to return. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now the actual story.
Yes.
Sorry. A long tangent. The first verse is literally, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am." So, like, it's just pretty clearly states out, like, it came to pass after all these things. So this is after, like, God's covenant with Abraham, after Hagar and Ishmael, after Sarah gives birth to Isaac, just, like, all those things that Abraham's already gone through, that now, like, it says, now it came that God tested Abraham. So, like, again, just that expectation of, like, mm-hmm. yeah, probably you should expect, like, some sort of, like, confirmation or testing of your faith after you've had, like, all the other things. And the part where, like, yeah, it just says, Abraham said, here I am. And, like, I guess part of that could just be, like, a, oh, like, what's up kind of thing. But just, like, the, I don't know, him saying, here I am, it just makes me think, like, okay, he was listening. He was ready. And he was ready to respond to the call of God.
Yeah.
Like, because of all the, the building of his faith. Mm-hmm. He was ready to say when God spoke his name, here I am. And so just like that willingness, that openness, I think prepared him then, like, for God to say, like, take your son, Isaac, whom you love, and you're going to go offer him as a burnt sacrifice on one of the mountains. And then the next verse is literally, so Abraham rose early in the morning. Like, whoa, I feel like we're missing, like, something, like, maybe he just, like, was like, okay, and went to sleep and had a great night's sleep and woke up and just went and did that right away. But, like, I've got to think, like, there's probably some, like, wrestling.
Yeah.
Right? My mom has something she says, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but she basically says, like, you have a hard day or you have, like, a good fighting day. Like, there's not really any day, like, in the world that you're just, like, it's totally easy and whatever, like, mm-hmm. but you can have, like, good fighting days because of, like, the Holy Spirit's help. And so, yeah, I just feel like even just Abraham's willingness to be open probably helped him, even if he was wrestling, like, in between, to, like, wrestle well mm-hmm. with the Lord, I feel like. And just that image of, like, wrestling well, I think helps because, right, it speaks again to the fact that, like, it's not easy. It is wrestling sometimes, but we can do it well, mm-hmm. I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything more for, to say that?
No.
It's too. So yeah, he rose early, took his young men with him and Isaac. They split the wood and they went to the place the Lord told him. Yada yada yada. verse 6 says that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. I think that's really interesting. Because I remember when I looked at that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like Jesus. Like, it's the same thing of when Jesus had to carry the wood for the cross up to the mount. And obviously there is so many parallels in this story about Jesus, that he is obviously the lamb, the sacrifice for us. But I really thought that was cool, just that, yeah, just like Jesus had to carry his own wood as he was a sacrifice, that Isaac was gonna have to do that. And he didn't even know, like, at this point, like, he's, you know what I mean, but there's all that parallelism and symbolism. Mm-hmm. So he was carrying the wood, they took the fire and the knife, and the two of them went together and left the servants behind. And then Isaac says, Father, and he says, Here I am, son. He says, Look, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Again, like, that's a picture of Jesus to me, that God provides, you know, his son Jesus for the burnt offering. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the place God told them. Abraham built the altar, placed the wood in order, and then bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and stretch out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I think this part is really interesting too, because obviously, like, right after that is when the angel says, Abraham, Abraham, like, I see that you were about to do, like, what I asked you to do. I think, like, obviously for this story, Abraham had to, like, actually do the things, like, right up until actually killing Isaac. And I feel like sometimes we think, like, okay, like, the Lord will ask me to lay that down on the altar, but, like, he won't actually ask me to bind it up. He won't actually ask me to put the wood on and, like, maybe light the fire and, like, actually raise the knife. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes it can just be, like, this facade of us, at least for me, of, like, oh, yeah, I'm laying that down.
Yes.
But, like, no, he might actually ask you, like, to see if you're, like, again, like, it's not to torment us or to torture us, but he will try us, like, to see if we will actually, like, give the thing to him. So I think sometimes, like, I don't know, whatever that practically looks like, we do have to bind the thing up, mm-hmm. like tie it to the altar so that it can't get away, and, like, be willing to show, like, no, I actually am. You know what I mean? Like, it's, does that make sense? Like, it's not just a symbolism thing. I think sometimes we actually have to, like, mm-hmm. actually tie it up and bind it down and be willing to, you know, say, no, I'm going to give this up, which is, like, terrifying. But, yeah, just, like, that actual intentionality, I think, behind it. So Abraham did all those things, and that's when the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, and again he said, here I am, and he said, don't lay a hand on the lad or do anything, for now I know that you fear the God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So he went and took the ram and offered it for burnt offering instead of his son. And I love this. I love that they, like, name things in the Bible. I kind of wish that we, like, still did that.
Memorializing it?
Yeah, and, like, we could. Like, I thought about that, like, maybe naming, like, my houses, or the places I've lived, you know what I mean? Like, this is the place where the Lord did this. This is the place where the Lord did this. I just think it's such a cool idea, because it does help, like, solidify it in our hearts. But this specific place Abraham called, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And so obviously, again, just that imagery of he did the little steps of obedience, and then the Lord provided the ram and the thicket to be the ultimate sacrifice. Let's see. So yeah, I think just, again, I think it, I just want to it to sound as encouragement to people. Like, just don't become weary in your trials, in your tribulation. Like, not only, like, is there purpose for it, but, like, there's provision. Like, he is the Lord who will provide. He's not teasing us. He's not tormenting us. Like, the tribulation and trying might come so that we can be tried and true, so that we are a bride who is ready for the bridegroom. And as believers, that is something that we should be all, like, anticipating, ready for, like, striving for, like, I will be a bride who's ready for the bridegroom to return. I'm trying to think if there was anything else.
I feel like that's just interesting, because I think as a, like, young, I want to use the word innocent just because I didn't know maybe what was coming, like, Christian or, you know, like, follower of Jesus. I thought that my faith as a kid was, like, that was pure, like, and that was the thing that I needed to keep, kind of, like, I don't want to, like, lose the way that I believed when I was little.
Interesting, yeah. But,
so then when trials hit, I almost have seen them as an adult as this thing to get in the way of my faith. Like, of course you're going to try to, like, which, yes, it could, if I take that and just completely am like, yeah, God is a liar, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
But I've seen it as, like, this issue of, like, oh, I must have done something, and that's why there's this trial in the way, and if I could just get back to my faith, I, like, wouldn't be struggling. Faith. Yeah, I wouldn't be struggling with this. And instead, it's like, no, this is literally, like, the provision of the Lord in a way, that he's actually bringing this so that you can be a pure bride.
Yeah.
Because you weren't innocent to begin with. But I felt like I was, like, because
actually, the veil was over your eyes.
Yeah. Because I was like, well, I've always been in a home where I'm a Christian. Like, I've confessed my, you know, my sin of, like, being depraved or whatever as a little kid.
Yeah. And that's so really good. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was just sort of dealt with or whatever. And it, at the cross, it was dealt with.
Yeah.
But, like, my actual, like, sinful flesh still has to be crucified.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, like, still now, I don't want to sound like it's all wrapped up, because I feel like that's daily, like, a thing of, like, oh, my gosh, trial, what did I do wrong? Instead of, like, okay, take it in stride. There's a perseverance. There's the character. There's, you know, I'm going to have hope instead of, like,
you didn't do something wrong because you're wrestling with that.
Yeah.
That's, like, a super interesting concept. I haven't thought about it that way. Because people do say that, like, may we return to childlike faith.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, like, there is, I think the reason people say that is because it is, like, to some extent, like, just abandonment. And, like, that reckless pursuit of Jesus. Certainly, like, and is there a verse about that? Like, about childlike faith?
Yeah,
or is that just something we've come up with?
Maybe not. Yeah.
But that's really interesting, like, let's see. Unless you... Oh, in Matthew 18:3, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In this verse, Jesus emphasizes... This is just what AI says. Childlike faith based on kindness, compassion, understanding is more important than intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And humility and all those things. And putting aside... Because childlike faith puts aside one's opinions and will, and it just trusts, and it's humble. So, yeah, like, certainly part of that is, yes, we should be like children.
Mm-hmm.
In that, like, abandonment, seeing the best in others, things like that. But it does not mean, like, what you're saying. I'm just trying to reiterate what you said. That, like, when we go through trials, like, you just need to return to childlike faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just need to go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you talk to somebody who's known, like, trauma, or known, like, very hard trials, known death in their family, known hurt, you know what I mean? Things like that. You can't just tell somebody like that, just go back to being like a child.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen too much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To maybe that's not just like as broad as we think it is. It's not just return to childlike faith. It's no, actually you haven't done anything wrong because your faith is being tested.
Yeah.
Because you're questioning, because you're wondering, because you're asking, whatever. Like, actually you are being tried and becoming true.
Mm-hmm.
So that you actually can become pure, not this facade of purity.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, Sally. Yeah, that's really good. I thought when you were saying that, just about, like, yeah, the veil being taken away, that talks about in 2 Corinthians. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And, like, that's what we should want, is for the veil to be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, otherwise it does stay this. Maybe it's, like, innocent, but it's not the tried and true. It's not the full transformation of actually beholding face to face the glory of God. That's what happens when the veil is actually taken away.
Yeah.
When we go through the things.
Yeah.
Which is what we should want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I don't want to just be like, okay, like, I stayed away from all, like, I stayed, you know, in my own little box, so I stayed. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, that's not ready for the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not ready for his return.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Right. That does seem like a very fear-based, like...
Yeah.
I kept myself unscathed from the world. Like, I ran from this and from that, and I did so well and not...
Right.
Instead of, like, no, I actually took hold of the shield of faith. That means there were darts coming at me.
Yeah.
I was, like, running through a really broken world.
Yeah.
but I did cling to Jesus.
Right. Or, like, it reminds me of, like, the parable of, like, the talents, too. That, like, you know, he gives the talents to three different people, and the people who made more off of the little that they were given, like, they were told, you have more faith than the people who just, like, oh, I hit it so that I wouldn't lose it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's not the kingdom.
Yeah.
To just hide. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be so easy, because then at least I can't lose it.
Right. Yeah.
So the other guy's, like, investing them to get more, like, you have to give them away to get
yeah,
more.
But that's the kingdom. Yeah. They're told that's the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another thing to go and read and mull
so
over.
So interesting. Yeah. The word, I'm just so thankful for the word. It's just so, yeah, full of just yeah. life. And anywho, yeah, that's all I have about that, unless you have anything else. I appreciate
thank you.
What you put in. That was really good.
Yeah, thank
you.
So. I'm so glad I got to be here to
listen
to it.
I'm so glad I got to record it again.
Yes.
So funny. Anywho, oh. yeah. I hope cool. that you're all encouraged
mm-hmm.
by that.
Yes.
And, yeah, know that you're not alone. And please feel free to reach out to us if you would like us to, yeah, walk with you through some of that or pray with you or whatever.
Yes.
So, that's what we're here for.
Cool.
And we'll see you all next time.
Yes.